This morning we come to the end of the Jars of Clay series. We've been going through this series now for almost five months, where we're looking at characters in the Bible and taking principles of their life, biblical principles from their life that apply to our lives. One of the things that we've discovered, I think, in that process is that the Bible is full of people, senior citizens sometimes, who late in their life, God does amazing things with them. Abraham was 90 years old when he had Isaac. Moses was 80 when he had the burning bush experience and then led the people of Israel out of Egypt and their slavery. Joshua was in his 80s or 90s when he was given the duty of leading the people into the promised land. Noah was several hundred years old when God gave him the responsibility of building the ark and having that experience. The Bible has a lot to say about growing something besides old. George Burns, the late comic, used to have a whole bunch of jokes, one-liners, about getting old. Let me just give you a few of them. He said that you know that you're old when the morning after feels like the night before, but you haven't gone anywhere. He says you know that you're getting old when all of the names in your address book end in MD. You know that you're getting old when you happen to be 17 around the neck, 44 around the middle, and 126 around the golf course. You know you're getting old when you bend down to straighten the wrinkles in your socks and realize you're not wearing any. You know you're getting old when you stoop down to tie your shoes, and while you're down there, you say to yourself, now, is there anything else that I can do? Today we're going to talk about somebody who was old, somebody by the name of Caleb. I want to read you this story out of Joshua, the 14th chapter. Follow along with me. Now the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there, and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said." Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Gordon MacDonald, a retired pastor and an award-winning writer and author, asked the question a number of years ago, what kind of an old man or woman do you want to be? And I guess if that I had to answer that question, I'd say I would like to be like Caleb. If I had a choice, I would be like Caleb. I want to be 85 and telling Joshua, give me that hill, because with God's help, I can do something with it. That's what I'd like to be. This morning I want to talk about growing something besides old. And I want to say three things about that, and they all relate to Caleb's life. The first thing that I want to say is this. If you want to grow something besides old, then you need to learn early in life to love God with all of your heart. And to be able to see in God, or to be able to see in the experiences of your life, see God in every part of that. One of the things that's interesting, when you look at this passage in verses 8, 9, and 14, they all basically say the same thing. They just have different, they're just quoting different people. In verse 8, you have Caleb who's talking to his old friend Joshua. You remember that they were spies together. They went out to spy over to look at the promised land. But Caleb tells Joshua, he said, listen, I'm claiming my inheritance here. And the reason I'm claiming it is not particularly anything because of what I've done, but I've loved God wholeheartedly. And then as he's explaining that sort of to Joshua, he then references Moses and Moses telling Caleb that because Caleb had loved God wholeheartedly, that he would get that inheritance. And then in the last verse of that, you find Joshua saying, okay, I'm going to bless you, Caleb. Why? Because you have loved God wholeheartedly. Now, I've done my research. You want to know what wholeheartedly means in Hebrew? It means wholeheartedly. That's what it means. It means to love God, to overflow, have a heart that overflows with love from God. It means that Caleb had a personality and a spirituality that sort of oozed God from all of his pores. And that Caleb was able to look and see in his life God everywhere. If you want to learn how to grow something besides old, then you learn early in life how to love God wholeheartedly and to see God in every aspect, in every detail, in every circumstance of your life. Now, this isn't the first time that we've seen Caleb. As he talks about this, we see him for the first time when he's 40. And he is given a commission by Moses, along with 11 other people, one of which was Joshua, to go out and spy on the land of Canaan, the promised land. And after 6 weeks of being out there, they come back, and 10 of them give the people a report something like this. It is an awesome, spectacular, glorious piece of land. It's just unbelievably how great this piece of property is. There's only a couple of problems. One is the cities are well fortified and the people look like giants. So much so that we are felt like grasshoppers in their eyes. And then they went on to say, you know, if we try to take over that land, they will squish us like a bug. And after they were done giving the report, Caleb steps up and he silences the crowd. And he says, listen, all of what they said is true. But this is what is also true, and that is that God is with us and he has promised us this land. And if he is with us, who can stand against us? We can take it. Let's go. You understand that that kind of faith, that kind of conviction, that kind of vision and courage doesn't just come overnight. And it doesn't just come with maturity. It's not like he woke up one day at 40 and he had it. That kind of maturity comes from loving God every day and seeing God in every situation of your life. The question is, where was he before this point in the story? Where did he learn to do that? How is he able to be able to see the same things that the other spies saw, but yet be able to look beyond the fortified cities and the people? How was he able to be able to look past that fear and instead grab hold of faith? Well, the answer was that he spent the first 40 years as a slave, doing back-breaking labor in Egypt. He saw God in the rock quarries and in the mud pits of Egypt. That's where he learned it. If you want to grow something besides old, then you learn how early on in life to love God with your whole heart and to be able to see beyond all of the little things, to be able to see God behind it all, to see God in the midst of the difficult situations, the rock quarries and the mud pits of your life. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, as you know, won the Nobel Prize for Literature. But he spent 10 years in the Russian prison up in Siberia, 10 years. The reason he spent 10 years there was because he was critical, in a letter to a friend, he was critical of the government, and so they threw him up there. It was a bitterly cold experience, as you could well imagine. It was also a bitter experience in many ways. But interestingly, God used that opportunity to bring Solzhenitsyn to himself. This is what Solzhenitsyn writes later on in life. He says, "Bless you, prison, for having been in my life. For it was there that I learned that the meaning of earthly existence lies not in what we've grown to understand as prosperity, but in the development of the soul." On one occasion, Solzhenitsyn was being kept, it was after he became a Christian, he was being kept in solitary confinement. And they let him out into the courtyard for his little time for exercise. And he went out, it was the middle of winter, he was freezing cold, he sat down on a bench, and as he was sitting there, another man came up who he did not know. And the man sat down, and in silence, he picked up a stick, and he drew the sign of a cross in the snow. Solzhenitsyn writes that that's all he needed to know, was that even there, in that existence, in that time and in that place, God was still present with him. You want to grow something besides old? Then you learn to love God wholeheartedly. And you learn to see God in the situations and the circumstances of your life. Secondly, if you want to grow something besides old, then you also focus on today, on now, and on what God is going to do next in your life, not just what he has done in the past. Helen Keller said this. She said, "Life is either a daring adventure or it's nothing at all." Listen again to Caleb's words to Joshua in verses 10 through 12. "Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day." You know what that tells us? That tells us two things about Caleb. One is that he understood that he had a reason for living, that he had a purpose for living beyond the age of 85. The second thing it tells us was that he clearly understood that God was not finished with him yet. He understood that the best God had for him wasn't behind him, it was in front of him at age 85. Caleb's legacy was just really a simple thing. His legacy was very simple, and that is that God's best was yet to come. If you want to grow something besides old, you better understand that God's best is something that's ahead of you, not something that's behind you. Here he was, he's 85 years old, and he's saying, "Give me that hill." But understand something, he's not saying, "I'm going to do it on my own." He's saying, "With God's help, I can take that hill. I can conquer those people that live there. I can face those challenges. I can deal with those difficulties. I can't do it on my own, but with the help of God, at 85, I can accomplish that." What's your purpose in life? Regardless of what age you are, When was the last time you sat down and said, this is clearly what God has called me to do and to be? I don't think God's particularly interested in knowing that you had a wonderful spiritual experience in 1955. Or that you had another one maybe in 1965, or in 1985, or in 2005. God is interested in what is happening in your life today. And what you are allowing Him to do in your life tomorrow. Far too many of us have more memories than dreams. And God is interested in the dreams. My father celebrated his 88th birthday this year. And as I've said before, and you know, he was a medical missionary for a number of years. When he came back from the mission field, he was a Presbyterian elder for 25 years. In his church, he worked as a 40, in his 40s, he worked with the 20-year-olds, college and career ministry, and had a wonderful ministry to that group. He taught Sunday school, and he did all those kinds of things. He also, with my mother, have the gift of hospitality and generosity, and so our house was sort of a revolving door of people, always, in and out, for dinner, for staying here. I can't remember the names of all the people that lived in our house for short periods of time. At the age of 73, he retired from that, and he left everything and everyone that he knew and loved in Pittsburgh and moved to Lancaster, Pennsylvania, to work for the Wycliffe Bible translators, as a doctor to help with the missionaries that come in off of the mission field. And while he was there, he volunteered his time on a weekly basis to a shelter, his medical experience to homeless men that were there in Lancaster. They continued to open their home to whatever, the missionaries and the people for whatever they needed and for whatever they wanted. He tutored a Russian immigrant couple in English in his spare time. And as he got older and his health started to deteriorate, his sleeping patterns changed, and so he started to wake up at 4:30 in the morning. And he decided, rather than just sort of waste that time, he decided that he was going to pray for the world until the rest of the world woke up. And so every morning he gets up, and he prays. He prays for his family. He prays for this church. He prays for the elders in this church. He prays for the ministries in this church. He's 88 years old. And God is not finished with his ministry yet. If you want to grow something besides old, you learn early in life to love God with all of your heart. And you look for God and you find God in all of the situations in which He places you. And you believe that the best is yet to come, not behind you. Stop celebrating stuff in the past and celebrate what God is going to do in the future. And number three, if you want to grow something besides old, and you're going to celebrate what God is going to do in the future, at some point you're going to have the kind of courage that Caleb did, that at 85 you didn't get to that point and you didn't have that kind of confidence and that kind of boldness without being able to say no to the naysayers and the critics. You don't get to that point unless you're willing to step out and say, okay, God, this is way beyond my abilities, my skill sets, my comfort zones. But with your help and with you equipping me, I'm willing to take this step forward. Give me the hill. I'll conquer it with your help. But I want you to also understand it wasn't easy for him to get to that point and to have that kind of an attitude. It didn't just happen. I spoke a few moments ago about his experience as a spy. He comes back. 10 of the people give a bad report, say, we can't do it. 2 of them, Joshua and himself, give a great report. And then what happens? Well, you know what happens. Israel spent 40 years wandering in the desert because some idiots didn't trust God. Imagine what Caleb's response was to that. What would your response be to having to live for 40 years with people who didn't trust God? I don't know about you, I would be bitter, I'd be angry, I'd be frustrated. Caleb wasn't any of that. He waited until his time had come again. And then he asked Joshua for the inheritance that God and Moses had promised him. You want to grow something besides old, you fill your heart with the love of God. You look for God in every situation. You believe that the best is in front of you, not behind you. And you put behind you all of the naysayers and all the critics. And you bite off more than you can chew because you know that God is going to equip you to do that. Some of you might think that this sermon is just for our senior citizens. And I want you to tell you it's not. Because there are a lot of old souls that seem to reside and live in young bodies. There's an old joke, I guess it's a joke, about a guy who goes to his doctor and the doctor comes back and says, well, I've got some bad news. He says, you only have 6 months to live. And the man said, okay, well, what would you suggest I do? And the doctor said, well, I would suggest, first of all, you go home and you sell all of your possessions and give the money to the poor. And then you find a woman who has 6 young children, and you marry her. And then you take all of you out to a little cabin in the woods with no running water or electricity, and then you live the rest of your life there. And the man says, well, how is that going to help? Is that going to prolong my life? The doctor said, no, but it'll be the longest 6 months of your life. Let me suggest how we can live the next 6 months for God. The first thing that we, I guess, should do is to, when we get up in the morning, we ask God as we're brushing our teeth or shaving or fixing or putting our makeup on or whatever it is we're doing, we ask God, God, what is it that I can do with you today? How can I partner with you in ministry today? What is that purpose that you have for me? And at the end of the day, whether it's been a good day or a hideous day, you give God thanks for what's been accomplished, for what He's done in your life that day. And then the second thing that maybe we should do is we take a look at where we are in our spiritual life and we ask God, where is it that you want me to be? What is it that you want me to be engaged in? What kind of work can I do on your behalf? And rather than backing away from the answer that you might get, you take a step forward because you know that God is big enough to equip you to do what you cannot do on your own. Because one of the things that this text tells us is that our God can do more than we can possibly ask or think or imagine. So over the next 6 months, let's commit as a church and as individuals to grow something besides old. You have in front of you some reflection questions. And as Noel plays, I want you to think and think seriously about your life and your relationship with God. Pray together. Our Lord and our God, we give you thanks that you're the God of the future. You're also a God of the past, and you're a God of the present. But Lord, more than anything, we ask that you would help us to grow, to love you more each day. And in that process, to remain strong and vibrant and excited and motivated to work for you and to live for you. May that be so this week. We make our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to sing.